morning, Freedom Community Church. How are you today? I am not Wade Pack, just so you notice. I'm not him today. Really glad you're here. I hope you enjoyed your drive in from the snow. I hope you got a lot of snow. So we were kind of looking around this morning. People were calling me, are we going to have church this morning? And I'm looking out and I'm going, there's no snow on the street here at my house. Bummer. But I'm glad you made it. Those of you who did brave the weather, thank you for coming in today. Let's pray and let's get into some worship, shall we? Lord Jesus, we want to thank you for this morning. We want to thank you for snow. And we even want to pray for those who are not thanking you for snow this morning, Lord, that they would just enjoy it. They would enjoy the season. They would just praise you, God, for all the creativity that you bring so that we have seasons and we have different weather, not just rain. And we just want to give you glory, Lord, this morning. And we want to praise you for the ability to come together and worship. And that's what we want to do now, Lord. We want to lift up our voices and worship you in the name of Jesus. Amen. 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 Would you join us as we worship? Do some announcements this morning, and we'll see what's going on for the rest of the week. Men's Bible study is not going to be held this Saturday. I hope you understand why. It's Christmas, folks. It's Christmas. Come on, catch up. You got the calendar, right? No men's Bible study on Saturday. Ladies, you're taking some time off again, too, until January 10th. Sunday home fellowship is on winter break until January 9th. So again, you can show up to any of those places, but if you do, make sure you bring cookies and a present because they're probably not expecting you and it will kind of smooth things over. If you're looking for these announcements and you can't remember them or you lost your bulletin, you can go onto the website at freedomcommunity.church and you can find all those down at the bottom of our homepage. They'll tell you exactly where they're at, when they're at, what to do, what to bring, all those kind of things. And you can also go back there and listen to the messages or share them with other people. So, the fun stuff of the week. First off, I want to let you know, if you didn't get the email, Ray Orr got to come home. And so he'll be home for Christmas. Thank you, Jesus. I want you to know what a miracle that is. I one of his friends who he used to work for when he was at Cowlitz County Chaplaincy, who's now the head over Peace Health, met Ray at the emergency room and said later, after he talked with Ray, 2 weeks later, he said, "Ray, when I saw you, I didn't think you were going to make it. And when I went in and saw him, I thought, oh, Lord, this is a 50-50. And he's home. And I have to tell you, Jesus does amazing things. And it's because of your prayers. I know that he is in the place he is today, home, celebrating with his wife, probably watching live. We're so glad you guys are there, not in a hospital today. Thank you, Lord. I also wanted to let you know, and we have some pictures, and I'm not sure which pictures are going to come up first, but these are the police chief ones. Do you have those ones first? So our mobile response trailer was able to go out and serve the 30 different police chiefs of Clark County, police and sheriff, including the tribal police. It was amazing. So we were able to go to Washington State Patrol headquarters and take the trailer that we as a church sponsor. And we got to feed them and share with them and let them know that when they need us, they can call us at any time. And again, you make that possible. And so I just want you to know you got to minister to law enforcement, who I feel are really pressed from all sides right now. And they know that you love them and you care about them. And we had soup and donuts. And, you know, surprisingly enough, I want to let you know, with 30 police chiefs, we only had like 2 donuts eaten. So that's all a myth, folks. Lots of soup, lots of coffee, lots of cookies, things of that nature. But it was amazing. Really enjoyed the time with them. And they really enjoyed the time with us, and they know that all of us are in this together. Next, I want you to know that yesterday we had a flood of volunteers come in, and hopefully those pictures are up next. Let's see, you got those, Kim? Are we ready? All right, so we were able to meet in the other building and put together 38 food boxes for families who really need some assistance this Christmas. They wouldn't be able to have the meals that you provided for them without your help. And so, again, all the food that you've been raising, all the money you've been donating, we were able to get together, package all those up, and deliver them out. And I am so grateful for you as a church family. You're amazing. You serve and you love on people in the name of Jesus all the time. And I just want to say thank you. Huge hit. One of the deliveries that we had sent me a message and said, hey, we showed up at the lady's house. We knocked on the door. She didn't expect to see us, actually. She didn't know we were coming. And she is recently a single parent, and her mom had just died. And she is sitting there, and she's doing her books, and she says, I don't know how I'm going to do this. I need like $200 more than I have just to buy groceries. And as she was sitting down doing this, figuring this out, all of a sudden somebody knocks on their door with one of these boxes with a full meal plus. I mean, it's a big meal, if you know. And, yeah, I just think, wow, what a way to meet people on Christmas. And, again, that's because of you, the servants of the Lord Jesus Christ. I just want to thank you for doing that. Next, I want you to know that last year we helped, I think it was like 45 families in El Salvador. At Christmas, we got them a meal. We got them presents. The sister church that we... Oh, my goodness. So this year... This year, not only did we do 45-ish last year for presents and for meals and all that with our sister church in El Salvador, this year we're going for 83. So if you want to be more a part of that, I want you to know as a church, we put a big chunk in there. And if you want to make sure that all that's there, you are more than welcome to donate this Sunday and next Sunday only. We've already sent some stuff. We'd love to send some more stuff down that way. If you want to do that, just write El Salvador in the memo of your check, or if you're giving online in the memo, write El Salvador, and all that will get down there too. So the 83 families who, again, wouldn't have a Christmas meal, wouldn't have presents under the tree, will have them this year through this church. And one way or the other, it's going to happen.
But if you want to be a part of that, just go ahead and donate today. And what a joy to do that. It'll be this Sunday and next Sunday only. And then if you are trying for your tax purposes to give any of your tithes or offerings on this year's statement, you've got to get them in by next Sunday. Just so you know, if they aren't in by next Sunday, they'll be on the following year's statement. And then finally, I want you to know that on the 23rd, which is Thursday, Christmas Adam, not Christmas Eve, but Christmas Adam, 23rd, we're doing our Christmas celebration here. So it'll be from about 6 to 8. If you want to come and help set up, I imagine we're going to be in here probably about 3 to 3:30, it sounds like, to make sure that we get everything set up in time. Or if you just want to come mill around and watch people work, you could do that too. Just bring coffee. And it'll be a blast. So I hope you'll come and join us on Thursday. And then on Christmas Day, stay home with your family because we're going to have 4 feet of snow. Or maybe not. But either way, we just pray you'll enjoy that time there. All right. With all that, let's pray, shall we? Let's just spend a moment in prayer. Lord, we want to thank you for being able to come together as a body of believers and make our requests known to you. We know there's so many people who need encouragement, they need strength, they need hope, they need joy, they need conflict resolution. And Lord, all those things are found in you. And they just simply have to come. But Lord, for those who cannot come or those who will not come yet, we just want to come before you and we want to pray. And Lord, first, we just want to pray for the peace of the nations, not just our own nation, but all the nations at Christmas time, that they would know you, that they would seek for you, whatever their situation might be, that they would know real peace, you, the Prince of Peace. And so we want to pray for them, and we want to pray specifically for our nation and for our leaders and for our civil servants and those who are working in all the different capacities. And we want to pray, Father, that first of all, that they would know you. If they don't know you, that they would repent and come to know you today. And if they do know you, Lord, they would be encouraged and directed and led by you, that they would hear from you, that they would speak your words and your heart. And so we want to pray, Lord, for our nation to again turn to you. What a great gift on Christmas to turn back to the one who set us free. So, Lord, we pray. And Lord, we want to pray now for the peace of Jerusalem. Again, the same thing, Lord. It's Christmas all over the world, if people acknowledge it or not. And we believe that you do amazing things this time of season, that you do amazing things in reaching hearts that were lost and doing miracles to open people's eyes. And we're praying that you would open the eyes of Jerusalem, all of its inhabitants, that they would be, even if need be, forced to realize that you are Messiah, that you are God who takes away the sins of the world. And we just want to pray for them now, Lord, that they would come to know you and they would celebrate a real Christmas. And Lord, we want to pray for the persecuted church all over the world. We want to pray, God, that their Christmas would be so absolutely wonderful, that they would encounter you, They would set their whole mind, their whole heart, their whole being on you. And we pray, God, that they would be ministered to by the rest of the church family and even by the world, Lord. We know that you have used things such as donkeys to speak. And we know that you can use those who even hate you to minister. You can move them to do those things. You can send angels from heaven above. You can send gifts from around the world. And we just pray, God, that you would help them this Christmas to truly be able to celebrate. We ask that you would fill their stomachs and warm their bodies, fill their hearts. And we pray for the persecuted church. Father, we want to pray now for the sick in our community, those who, through various diseases or trials or viruses or whatever else it might be, are struggling. We just want to pray collectively now, Lord, that you would touch them, that you would heal them, that you would help them to be still and to hear from you, but to remove the pain and to remove difficulty, that they might be able to focus on you and not those things. We just ask for an amazing healing over your people. Wellness in their being, that they might go and be with others, that they might celebrate, that they might sit with you with a clear head and be able to communicate. And we just want to pray over their bodies and their well-being right now in you, Lord. And Father, while we're praying over that, we want to pray for all those who spiritually need you, who need salvation. And Lord, we know that this season can be so amazing. It can be so beautiful. And yet it can be so void of any meaning whatsoever without you. And we're praying that you would open the eyes of the hearts of those who are lost, those who have turned away, those who are wayward, those who are sinning. We just pray, God, that you would pour out your love on them. And we know your word says it's the kindness of you, God, that leads us to repentance. And we're just praying, God, that you would lead them by your love, into eternal life, into a return to you. And so we pray. Lord, you're so amazing. We truly could just stay in this place for a long time. Where all the tension and worry and all these things and all the busyness just fades out as we find ourselves in your presence. And Lord, truly our heartbeat slows down. Our shoulders relax. All of us just start to find peace because we realize that you're the God who can carry the whole load. You can carry it all. You do. You carry the whole world. And it's such a delight to be with you. Thank you for being a heavenly Father, one who listens and who solves problems and who comes to our rescue and fixes the things that we tried to do with our own hands but maybe just didn't have the skill to do. And yet you do it perfectly every time. We just want to worship you. We want to praise you. We want to give you the glory and all thanks, Lord. Thanks for this sweet time together. In your precious name, Jesus. And all God's people said, amen. Hey, let's take a few minutes. Go ahead and stand up. Shake your legs a few times. Whatever else you need to do, get up and say hello to somebody. If somebody's new here, introduce yourself to them. All right. Come on back to your seats if you would. I know you have so many interesting things to talk about, but let's worship instead, and we'll do that in the end. So come on back. Would you stand up for this one? Let's worship, shall we?
I'll fly away, oh glory, I'll fly away. When I die, hallelujah, by and by, I'll fly away.
Thank you for a chance to worship together, to praise you together, to come together, to then celebrate in song and in the understanding of your word and the way that you've communicated with us, the way that you love us. It's beyond imagination, and it's great to imagine. And we're so thankful, Lord. We're thankful for each other this day. We're thankful for a place to worship. We're thankful for you. And now as we jump into the word, we pray, God, that you would not let it return void. And we know that we have the answer to our prayer because you've always already told us it will not. And so we ask that you would sink it down deep in our hearts. And Father, I do pray, even as we come into this message today, that for those who haven't quite come into the Christmas spirit yet, by the time we're done, we would really have that spirit in us, that desire to worship you as you deserve. And we just ask, Lord, that you would open our hearts, that you would set our minds and our focus on you. And we thank you and we give you all the praise in the name of Jesus Christ, our King. And all God's people said, amen. Amen. All right. Well, we are doing a little bit something different today because we're obviously approaching Christmas. And I wanted to just change it up and ask the question, what does it take to have an amazing Christmas? I mean, we talk about it all the time. We think about it all the time. But what does it really take? Do you have a personal recipe in mind? Do you have family traditions or things that you do or breaks in traditions? What is it that is your part of making Christmas wonderful? I know some people are planning way in advance. You know, I remember when Rachel worked for us, we'd come into her office about June and she had Christmas music going. So she was really working on ramping up to get to this point, right? And different people have already been scheduling and shopping for months and doing all their things. But what is it for you? What does it take for an amazing Christmas? Is it the absence of something that makes Christmas great? Some find it's the absence of extended family, weird Uncle Joe or whoever else, or maybe even immediate family. Unfortunately, there's some people who are in that place too. Others think it would be the absence of drama. There would be no drama. And some are thinking, well, you're being repetitive now. I think you just said the absence of family. And I know that that's complicated for some. Is it the absence of a virus, a mask, crowds, fruitcake, decorating? What is it you need to not be there? And
Interestingly enough, I know there are some guys right now going, yes, it's decorating for sure. I still haven't put the Christmas lights up, so guilty. You know, and some, the decorating is the exciting part. And that's interesting to think of, too. Do you have a recipe of things that must be tied to Christmas or included with Christmas in order for it to be amazing for you? Is it the decorations, certain foods or desserts, places you go, Christmas-related shows or TV or something that you do or a concert or whatever? Or is it the need to be with or encounter somebody or be like George Bailey of It's a Wonderful Life? Not our George Bailey, just make sure we're not confused. But George Bailey from A Wonderful Life, is it that kind of deal? If it's any of these things, doesn't mean you can't have a great Christmas. Is something you needed is absent or is present that you wanted to be opposite? Or if, unlike George Bailey, up to this point right now, your life decisions have left a wake of destruction that has injured yourself and injured others. I mean, really, is that going to be the deal? Are you excluded then from the possibility of having an amazing Christmas if this is what's going on? I ask the question because some of the things that we are led to believe and even adopt in our own understanding of what it takes to have an amazing Christmas really have nothing to do with what makes Christmas amazing. And there's a lot of trappings, a lot of pieces around us, and we just need to see that. As a matter of fact, if we look back at the Christmas story, some people's views of Christmas have no compatibility with what really occurred on that day or in those days and at that time. There were no presents under the tree, no lights outside of the houses, no Christmas cookies, no ugly sweater contests, none of those things existed. There were no carolers outside your door. Maybe that's a blessing for you. There were no candy canes, wreaths, snowmen, stockings, reindeer, chestnuts roasting on an open fire. After all, I was thinking about this. How many of you have ever roasted a chestnut on a fire? I mean, but we sing it every year. It's like Christmas tradition, right? I've never done it. I'm not sure I even want to try. I'm trying to figure out how you get the stick inside the chestnut. It just doesn't work. As a matter of fact, if you want to really get a good view of the conditions of Christmas, the real Christmas, you'd have to spend it in a third world country on the persecuted church watch list. Think about that for a minute. If you really want to see what Christmas was like, that's what you would have to do. You'd have to head somewhere where there's not much of anything in terms of resources, and you would have to be in the persecuted church.